City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who watch over.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 341. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Steven Rader.
Steven Rader. How are you, darling?
The joke that will not end. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I've had a long weekend, long week, but good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, we're heading fast into this Thanksgiving week. And do you have Thanksgiving traditions?
I don't really go home anymore for Thanksgiving because it's just too much of a turnaround for Christmas. And
yep.
Things, the season of concern is so crazy. Hatred of my mother, who would love for me to be home, 24/7. But we don't really. I remember hearing from somebody who said that they went to their in-laws for Thanksgiving, and they said it was so strange. Like, everybody was in sweatpants, and they all sat around with, like, paper plates and watched a ball game on the TV, and I was like, why, that's Thanksgiving. What are you talking about? Like,
that's,
you know what I mean? That's redneck heaven to me.
You
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I haven't been.
What about you?
I haven't been to a Tennessee Thanksgiving in so long I don't even remember. It's easily been more than a decade for many of the same reasons. You know, I my ex and I, we used to always go somewhere warm and tropical for Thanksgiving, and we always were on a beach on Thanksgiving. It's very easy to find lots of gratitude when you're in the sunshine.
Amen, brother.
And then, I had the Thanksgiving for a little while where I was kind of a single lesbian about town, and I would hang out with all the artsy fartsy, mostly gay men who passed the bong at Thanksgiving and talked about what they were thankful for and would just say, hey, you're a lesbian. Why don't you come join us? And I would say, well, what can I bring? And of course, we were having four different kinds of mashed potatoes with the marshmallows, sweet potatoes with the marshmallows, sweet potatoes without, four different kinds of stuffing, all the gay men trying out their Martha Stewart recipes. And I said, well, what can I bring? And they said, why don't you bring the football? Now, have they met me? Do I own a football? Yeah. And then they just got really stoned and would watch like South Park. And that was, yeah. So I've had many a different Thanksgiving, but now Kelly and I just, we just find anybody having orphan Thanksgiving and have it with them, you know?
Oh, it's the best. Orphan Thanksgiving is the best.
Yeah.
And I, of course, do what I've always done. I brought there's a corn casserole recipe of Paula Deen's online. I highly recommend it because it is so freaking simple to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have, you know, I'm such a redneck. I have, the, you know, the round pouring, you know, thing, the dish that with the little thing. And then I have a little, like, someone has made a koozie for it or something that my aunt had that I passed on to me. So you can literally, you know, put it inside this, you know, beautiful little.
Okay, I want one of those for Christmas if you're wondering what to get me for Christmas, because I have the same Corningware, because we are
literally,
casserole,
I mean,
kids.
It's like the gayest thing in the world. And everyone always goes, oh, where did you get that? I'm like, it's been passed down from, you know, woman to woman to homosexual. You know, like, this is what we get in my family. You know, but I always bring this, and it's in this round thing. And a few years ago, I think it was Alonda's house, we were all sitting down, and there it is with all the corn and cheese and the beautifulness. Mm. And, you know, someone just picks it up and goes, would anyone like any of this corn pie? So not knowing at all what it was. So now it's Raider's corn pie. That's what, you know, Raider, you bring in the corn pie, so I've got to make, you know, not only one, but I think two of those.
You got to educate those kids on the casserole.
I'm telling you. You know, I had Pride over here a few years ago at my place before the parade, and I was like, what am I going to make for everybody? I thought, you know, I'll just make biscuits and gravy and sausage balls and ham and, you know, country ham. Everybody makes fun of me, and not a bite of it was left by 11 o'clock.
Of course they weren't.
Gone.
Well, the sausage balls is like, sausage balls are like the poppers, you know, of Southern cooking. You just snap. It's like fried okra, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sausage balls. Oh, my God.
I got to have some summer green beans where they're real soft and they're hardly even green anymore, you know, and some corn casserole.
And okra is almost burnt. That's
okra has
okra
to be burnt. Yeah. I just made Kelly some okra the other day, and I said, you know, it's just, I don't have a cast iron skillet up here, which is a shame. My grandmother, I called my grandmother, and, you know, at 101, she said, well, I got one you can, I said, you have one I can borrow, I'll bring it back somehow. And she said, no, you ain't gonna borrow it, I'm just gonna give it to you, I got more than enough. But that thing has had some mileage, you know.
You want it with all the grease in it.
So good. I made really good okra, though.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
You
don't eat
at Cracker Barrel.
I can't eat at the Cracker Barrel anymore, though. They're not good people.
You know, that's the thing. They may not have hired homosexuals back in the day, but the biscuits are incredible.
The biscuits
and really
are good.
It's a pick and choose.
It was the hardest boycott of my life was the Cracker Barrel.
Everyone gives me shit about it. I'm like, you know what? Look, the biscuits are great. I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. I have to give in somewhere. You know what I mean?
It's true. It's true. Speaking of giving in, I don't know if she's really throwing in the hat, but Miss Oprah Winfrey announced this past week that she, on Friday, she said that she was ending the Oprah Winfrey Show at the end of the 25th season. That's a cultural shift, don't you think? The lack of Oprah being a daily voice?
I guess, but the I'm probably the only homosexual who would say this. Who gives a fuck? Go on. Like, I could care less. I've never, ever, ever been in the city when she's been somewhere. I've never really seen her put, like, what always bothered me about her producing The Color Purple was that if all that money she dumped into this Broadway show was put into, you know, theater, you know, any African-American theater company on the South Side, any of them, would have taken that and done incredible amounts of work with it. It's just little things like that that I go, are you really a Chicagoan? No. You're really more a person of the world, so why are we all weeping about this? I just don't.
Well, I think,
you know, other than tying up Michigan Avenue. Okay,
well, I think you're talking about her leaving Chicago, which I think will be inevitable since she has homes in New York and L.A. and the Caribbean and Hawaii and all over the place. She sits down here when she produces. But it is, you know, it has been an identifying, to stay on that conversation, it has been an identifying thing that when people come to Chicago, they want to go to the Oprah show, that, you know, Oprah equals Chicago to people. And it has employed an enormous amount of people at Harpo. You know, and it has kind of, it has definitely kind of brought Hollywood and other people, you know, to Chicago to pass through to sit on her couch. That's one thing, how it impacts Chicago, which I think it will impact Chicago. But the bigger thing is like how it does affect the world. I mean, even economically, will it affect the world? And that, I mean, booksellers and, you know, people.
Who's going to pick our next president? That's what I want to know. Who's going to pick the next president?
Well, I don't think
she
really.
Because if Oprah's not going to do it for us, I mean, are we going to all go rogue? And then, you know, what's going to happen?
I don't know. I think it's just the end of a time, though. There are definitely. I mean, look, you and I are both like 26. I mean, 25 years. You know, we don't remember a time without Oprah.
I almost let that pass by, and I almost was like, oh, I'm not going to laugh at this, and I couldn't help it.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you know, it's just, there's a story that someone told me that's probably completely something I should never, ever, ever tell, but I don't care, that I heard that when she saw her first run-through of Color Purple, that she walked up to Felicia Field, who, you know, big Chicago, grand name in Chicago for musical theater.
Friend of mine.
And for theater in general.
Yep.
Yeah, and who played Sophia on Broadway, got a Tony nomination, walked up to Felicia and said, girl, so I'm like, play my role or something like that. You're great. And then said to Felicia, where have you been? To which Felicia looked at her and said, Chicago.
Yeah. I'm sure that story's true.
You know, like, where do you think, Oprah? I'm in your city, but you don't know that. And that's the kind of thing that really irks me about her. It's like, you're not a part of our city, and yet we act like you're royalty. Because, of course, her economic power, like you said, is outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
The influence.
But I'm always the one to go against the grain. You know
are. I love that about you.
I go against the grain in so many things.
You're like, you know, you're like learning to shave your legs when you're a little girl. You know, you shave upwards away from the way the hair grows. Right? When you guys shave your face, you shave
anywhere
in the direction of the hair. But see, all us women, I obviously need to go do some grooming or something. Hey, folks, there's some more news besides Oprah and also a lot of great theater going on right now. So much that's of interest to us as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. We're going to tell you about that. And then when we come back, Jackie Hoffman's on the show. Hilarious. Solo performance artist, comedian, actress, and she is currently on stage in the pre-Broadway production of The Addams Family downtown. And after we talk with Jackie, Steven Rader's already been to a preview, so he's going to give us a little, little feedback on what he thought. So stay tuned for all that and more.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
On November 16th, Window Media, publisher of The Southern Voice, Washington Blade, South Florida Blade, 411 Magazine, Houston Voice, David Magazine, and the already dead Genre Magazine, abruptly closed. However, on November 20th, less than a week later, 17 staff members of the 40-year-old Washington Blade launched a new paper called The DC Agenda and hand-delivered the first issue.
On November 14th, the body of gay 19-year-old Jorge Steven Lopez Mercado was found decapitated, dismembered, and partially burned by the side of the road near the town of Calle in Puerto Rico. Never in the history of Puerto Rico has a murder been classified as a hate crime. Several groups have condemned the act and suspect Juan A. Martinez, who plans to use a gay panic defense at trial.
The U.S. House of Representatives Oversight and Government Reform Committee passed a bill last week that would expand domestic benefits to include same-sex partners. The 23-12 vote on H.R. 2517, the Domestic Partnership Benefits and Obligations Act of 2009, will now be considered by the full House. President Obama has expressed his support of this bill.
In a groundbreaking think tank sponsored by the National Center for Lesbian Rights and Women's Sports Foundation, top sports leaders, legal experts, policymakers, and student athletes met recently in Indianapolis to address equal opportunity for transgender student athletes.
At the recent GLAAD Media Awards and Advertising Ceremony, Alan Cumming, winner of the Vito Russo Award, hosted the event. Subaru received the Corporate Responsibility Award, while Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams were presented with the Public Visibility Award.
Lambda Legal has sent a letter to SkyWest and Delta Airlines warning the companies that their policy toward gay employees' spouses and registered domestic partners is illegal. SkyWest employee Gilbert Caldwell, who married his partner of 34 years in 2008, has to pay fare for his spouse, while spouses of heterosexual workers do not pay.
ChurchOuting.org aims to pull priests out of the closet, claiming that it wants to end the cycle of spiritual abuse. The website asks visitors to share stories of priests in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., who are either gay or having heterosexual affairs.
In California, U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Stephen Reinhart ordered compensation for a gay couple denied spousal benefits because of their sexual orientation. Reinhart ruled that denying benefits to Tony Sears, the spouse of federal public defender Brad Levinson, violated the Constitution's guarantee of due process and was sexual orientation discrimination, which state law bans.
Ex-gay gospel singer Donnie McClurkin referred to, quote, broken and feminine gay youths at a Church of God in Christ convention in Memphis. McClurkin compared his struggle to overcome his sexual orientation to being a diabetic who craves sugar. In addition, he called Tonics, a gospel singer who recently came out, a perversion.
In New Hampshire, conservative radio host Doug Lambert was fired after calling openly gay state Democratic Party Chairman Ray Buckley a faggot. On his show, Meet the New Press, Lambert sarcastically wished Buckley a happy birthday, adding, "Yeah, you faggot, that's right, I said it, and I meant it. You are reprobate. You are a disgrace to yourself, to humanity, to mankind, and to your party." The following day, Nassau Broadcasting immediately terminated the show.
In Florida, the Tampa City Council voted 5-1 to ban gender identity and expression discrimination in employment, housing, and public facilities.
In Georgia, Mill High School teacher Randall Ford has been accused of pursuing a hit on a 16-year-old student. Ford is currently on paid administrative leave and faces an employment hearing in December.
In Baltimore, a memorial service has been held for 15-year-old James Madison Jr., who was recently raped, repeatedly stabbed, and left in a closet. Dante Parrish, age 35, a convicted murderer who frequented the teen's aunt's home, forced Madison into a sexual relationship. Parrish has reportedly confessed to killing Madison.
On November 17th, openly gay Ken Kuechel was elected mayor of Broward County in Florida. The Board of County Commissioners unanimously elected Kuechel, making him the first out mayor of Fort Lauderdale. Kuechel sponsored Broward County's amendment to include trans individuals in the local Human Rights Act.
Mary Cheney, former Vice President Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, gave birth to 6-pound, 14-ounce Sarah Lynn Cheney on November 18th in D.C. The newborn is the second child for Mary and her longtime partner, Heather Poe. There is no word regarding the identity of the biological father.
In world news, in Germany, a spy known only as Anton K. is being tried for allegedly giving his male lover secret documents. Anton K. supposedly began an affair with a Macedonian translator when he was sent to Kosovo 4 years ago. The spy's wife discovered the affair when she realized that the lover was named in Anton's life insurance policy instead of her.
Austria's government will legalize civil partnerships for same-sex couples, and the law will go into effect January 1, 2010, if Parliament approves it. However, gay couples will have to register at the city or magistrate's office. They will not be able to hold ceremonies at civil registry offices. The country still bans gay couples from adopting children or using in vitro fertilization or artificial insemination to have kids.
Australian concert organizers have canceled several shows by anti-gay reggae singer Beanie Man after facing protests from gay rights activists. The singer was supposed to perform at the Big Day Out Festival, which is held in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Perth, as well as Auckland, New Zealand.
And in entertainment news, talk show titan Oprah Winfrey will end The Oprah Winfrey Show in 2011 as she prepares to start her own cable channel, OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. The Oprah Show will end after its 25th season on September 9th, 2011. Winfrey reportedly informed her staff of her decision on November 19th.
The 1953 film From Here to Eternity had gay scenes cut from it. That's the claim of Kaylee Jones, the daughter of Eternity screenwriter James Jones. Kaylee wrote that the original manuscript went into great detail about sexual favors soldiers like Private Angelo Maggio, played by Frank Sinatra, would provide to rich gay men for money. I don't like to be blowed by a man, the novel's hero, Private Pruitt, played by gay actor Montgomery Clift, tells Maggio. Angelo shrugged, wrote James Jones. Oh, all right, I admit it's nothing like a woman.
On her Sirius satellite radio show, Rosie O'Donnell admitted that estranged partner Kelly O'Donnell moved out of their home in 2007. O'Donnell revealed the news in part because of a chihuahua. Well, at one point, O'Donnell explained the circumstances that led to her getting the pup. What happened was, when Kelly moved out 2 years ago, I got the dog because I wanted another child or something to love, and I got the dog.
Adam Lambert responded to Out Magazine's comments about him via Twitter. Out Magazine editor Aaron Hicklin suggested in the Out 100 issue that Lambert and his handlers, 19 Entertainment, were wary of having Lambert be on the cover and asked the publication not to ask certain questions that would make the singer appear too gay. Lambert tweeted, "Dear Aaron, it's deaf, not that deep. Chill. Guess you gotta get attention for the magazine. Until we have a meaningful conversation, perhaps you should refrain from projecting your publication's agenda onto my career."
Dolly Parton has endorsed Internet Explorer 8 and its Web Slices feature on YouTube. Parton says that she wouldn't know a gigabyte from a snakebite, but the folks over at Microsoft sure know their computers. Parton also expressed her support of same-sex marriage on the Joy Behar show, saying, "I always say, sure, why can't they get married? They should suffer like the rest of us do." Parton also added she has a large gay following because she loves everyone for who they are. We're not supposed to try to change people.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
There is nothing like a tame, nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name that is...
It won 7 Tony Awards. The best revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein in a generation, cheers the Washington Post. There is nothing like South Pacific.
Coming to the Rosemont Theater November 24th through 29th. Tickets are now on sale at the box office and all Ticketmaster locations.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. When the world goes boom, I want Viggo Mortensen to be my dad. Who better to keep your spirits up in the hideous post apocalyptic afterlife as pictured in John Hillcoat's The Road, the adaptation of the Cormac McCarthy epic-length tome bestseller. Mortensen, as always, brings grave dimension and inner grace to an everyman part that he's become so expert at. He is soft-spoken, loyal to a fault, brainy, literate, artistic, hunky, sensual, athletic, and strong. The ultimate ideal of what a male heterosexual should be. The ladies and the gay men love him, and pretty much everyone else, too. I bet the guy even turns off his cell phone in movie theaters. In The Road, Viggo's character, simply identified as the father, has one goal, to deliver his son, played by newcomer Cody Smith, Smit McKee, and himself to the seashore and presumably safety. Along the way, in this road movie that's really an anti-road movie, the duo will be tested by the drugs of humanity, cannibals, murderers, thieves, diminished by their quest for survival, no medicine, little food. And for the father, the haunted memories of life before the big boom with gorgeous piano-playing mother. A terse Charlize Theron playing the realist of Mortensen's dream talker, who is no longer on the scene. Looking like a homeless pair wandering through the ashes of the post-industrial world, the film's eye-popping visuals are stunning but depressing. The father does his best to instill hope and courage in his son. "Keep carrying the fire inside you," he urges. Like the pair, the film roams from episode to episode, but never really seems to get anywhere. And the end, to put it kindly, is way too pat, but underlines the father's carry the fire mantra. But after all that bleakness, you gotta give us hope, a chance at redemption, the audience insists. And funny or not, as that message might be, depending upon your own inner mantra, The Road delivers on that promise. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
The new Mel Brooks musical, Young Frankenstein, is alive and headed here. The record-breaking team behind the producers delivers all your favorite moments from the classic film, plus brand new show-stopping numbers, including Transylvania Mania. The New York Post calls it Broadway at its dizziest, glitziest, and funniest. Don't miss the screamingly funny Young Frankenstein, directed by Susan Stroman.
Now playing through December 13th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 23rd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Meet Florence Foster Jenkins in Souvenir, the uproarious story inspired by a tone-deaf socialite destined for Carnegie Hall. The touching and comic tribute to Ms. Jenkins' sincerity, ambition, and complete lack of talent, Souvenir chronicles her unlikely journey from laughingstock to musical legend. Playing at Northlight Theater through December 20th. Visit northlight.org for tickets to Souvenir.
You met him as George Gershwin in George Gershwin Alone, then as Frederick Chopin. Now Hershey Felder returns to Chicago as the greatest composer of them all, Ludwig von Beethoven, in Beethoven As I Knew Him, featuring some of the composer's most well-known works. Don't miss Beethoven As I Knew Him, playing now through December 20th at Drury Lane Water Tower Place. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Don't miss out on an evening with Charles Bush and Julie Halston on December 7th. The original Vampire Lesbians will take the stage to tell their story from Sodom to Broadway in a special show as part of Victory Gardens' Fresh Squeeze Queer Series at Victory Gardens Biograph Theater, 2433 North Lincoln Avenue. Tickets are now on sale. Get tickets for an evening with Charles Bush and Julie Halston by visiting victorygardens.org.
You're invited to a marvelous party. Writers Theater presents the musical comedy review, O Coward. Acclaimed director Jim Cordy brings Noel Coward's effervescent music, quips, and wit to life. Be transported to a 1930s nightclub for a must-see evening of the most memorable tunes of the 20th century. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
Court Theater presents The Mystery of Irma Vep, written by Charles Ludlum. Irma Vep satirizes all that is ridiculous in gothic horror, classic film, and conventional theater, and it's also a contender for the funniest American play of the last quarter century. Playing now! Get tickets for Irma Vep at courttheater.org.
David Bowie's Christmas Special, 1977, back for a second straight season. Cap off a visit to the Macy's window and Chris Kindle marked with a trip to the Spiders from Mars Space Station, playing now Fridays and Saturdays through December 19th at 11 p.m. at the National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Tickets are only $15. Visit nmtchicago.org for reservations or information.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Betty Buckley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
The house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet.
Jackie Hoffman is a brilliantly funny Obie Award-winning actress and comedian. She is coming to Chicago for not one, but two shows. One is the highly anticipated pre-Broadway world premiere musical, The Addams Family, where she will star alongside B.B. Newirth and Nathan Lane as Grandma. And she will also give us her perspective on the holidays with her one-woman show, Whining in the Windy City Holiday Edition at the Royal George Theater. So she's going to be entertaining us nonstop 7 days a week, and we're just glad to have her here because she sounds like such a busy lady. Jackie Hoffman is here on the Queercast. Hey, Jackie, how are you?
Oh, I'm busy.
We're just going to call you Busy Bee.
Yeah, in fact, I can't even talk now, Amy. I'm just too busy.
All right, well, then bring your alter ego on, because obviously you've cloned yourself to be working the schedule, I swear. I was going to say, do you have this kind of energy of like, are you a nonstop kind of manic person by heart?
Well, I'm a nonstop self-loathing neurotic person, so I feel I have to keep doing stuff to, you know, prove my worth in the world. Otherwise, then the depression will get so deep, and then I'll just sink deeper and deeper, and then comes the two-buck chuck and the food.
Well, we do have a Trader Joe's on every corner, so you can pick up the two-buck chuck. Where are you from originally?
I'm from New York. I'm a New York girl.
You are a New York girl, but you've spent some time here in our fair Second City. You were a member of Second City in the late 80s and the first half of the 90s. What do you remember about that time, and what do you love about Chicago?
It was a great time. It was a great gig. Not to offend your listeners, but I met a lot of cute straight boys.
Oh, that's okay. They hope to change them one by one, so it's good.
Good God. Well, I'm glad I got done with them first.
Exactly. Well, if you bring over the case of two-buck chuck, it's really not that hard for some of our guys.
Uh-huh.
So.
I love how clean it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love that whole, you know, I like the improv scene and how much theater there is here. And, you know, I just, it's an easier town to handle.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously getting two big hands around it with all that you have going on. Hey, tell me, there's always so many amazing ensemble members over at Second City. And I know while you were there, that was no exception. You were there. Who were some of the other names that you were making audiences laugh with?
Oh, here we go. This is the use jacket to get to the more famous people.
Go
to that. We know that you really don't have a career, Jackie. Who were you with? You know, everybody. You know, Chris Farley, Bonnie Hunt was there when I was there. Dan Castellaneta of The Simpsons was just leaving when I was starting.
Amy Sedaris was there with you, right?
Yeah, Amy and Steve Colbert, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I know you've worked with Amy on Strangers with Candy and also in her world of the theater.
Yes, I have. That's how I won the award you mentioned, by the way.
That's exactly right. See, that segue works really good. You also were in an infamous show for the gay and lesbian community, along with our podcast co-host, Alexander Billings. You were in Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. Did that really start your relationship and fandom, you think, with the GLBT community?
I like to think it kicked it off. Yeah, I mean, and Alex really helped bring me into that whole world, which was so, and then I brought Alex into Second City, which was to be the first transgender person that ever set foot through that place.
Yeah, well, she's been the first transgendered person in most places.
Right, yeah. And then it really kicked off then when I got to New York, and I did a lot of shows with a theater company called Tweed Theater Works, who would do, like, parodies of stuff like we did. Amy Sedaris and I did the Children's Hour together with Charles Bush and Lipsinka.
Oh my God.
And then I started to do solo shows there, and that's how I developed the whole solo show thing, is we did solo holiday, like variety shows called Jackie's Kosher Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to develop a big fan base in New York out of that.
Did you really think, like, I'm going to thrive as a comedian? I'm going to thrive doing just solo work. What do you get from that kind of work? And what skills were you honing in doing your one woman and stand up work?
Ooh, good 3-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never think I'm going to thrive doing anything. I'm not a thriving type of person.
Oh, I would disagree with you. I would disagree with you.
I do it, first of all, to get some frickin' attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it, it's kind of like an outlet. And it just became like when, as they say in that asshole pretentious world, to find my comedy voice.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just became more of like a rage and bitch fest. And, you know, it just became a great outlet for me to say like you said before, whatever the fuck I want to say.
Yeah.
And the gays seem to have, God bless them, just, you know, completely embraced it. And that's, you know, don't encourage her. Well, God love them, the gays encouraged me.
Did you have influences going into doing the work at Second City, doing your comedy, doing your one-woman work that you really looked up to and you said, if I can do what that person does, I will feel like I'm starting to be some sort of artist?
I have a lot of, there are a lot of, professional people and, you know, people that I know personally who are, like, really incredibly funny, you know, like Groucho Marx and Jackie Gleason and Carol Burnett and, you know, people in my family and people like that. But I didn't model my shows after any of those people because they're not really known for solo work. I mean, there's, you know, of course, people like Lenny Bruce and Woody Allen's early stand-up work and stuff like that. I love, but what I do is like, you know, so I admire all those people. And, but what I do in my shows is pretty unique because I do like original music and it's kind of like really funny monologues between. So it's a very strange, unique mixture of like cabaret and completely original, really funny music. So I don't know anyone it's patterned after.
Yeah, no, and I think you have kind of your own unique bent. It's funny that you mentioned Woody Allen because I wanted to talk to you about the impact being Jewish has had on your work. And obviously, he's a great example of that as well. But as a woman, we get an entirely different perspective when we listen to Live at Joe's Pub or we see your work. Is that important to you to always bring a bit of who you are into your comedy and that perspective?
I think, yeah, definitely, because, you know, I'm not that good a writer, and I don't have that great an imagination, and I kind of just write, I kind of just do my twist and my take on what's out there. And we'll see that in this show, because, you know, again, a Jew, it's a Jew on the holidays, but there's much more to it than a Jew on the holidays, you know?
Right. What is your Jew on Christmas Day annual ritual? Do you have one?
On the actual day?
Yes. Like my one of our co-hosts who actually is one of Alex's good friends and my dear friends is Mitchell Fain. And we always talk about, you know, what movie he's going to go see the morning of Christmas and then where he's going to go have Chinese food and what his day is going to look like. And so I'm just curious if you have like a tradition for your Christmas day.
Yeah, usually it's stealing the blood of Christian babies and making our matzah bread for Passover.
That's
but
good.
Sometimes I go with the, I've done the traditional just because, I mean, just because it's such a thing that people talk about. I was like, let's try the movie Chinese food thing, which I've done. Or it's just, you know, it's kind of a dull day because everything's freaking closed. So now with the Addams Family schedule and my show, it'll probably be just sitting still and going,
No. I'm going to hook you up with Mitchell and you guys are going to go see like some fabulous coming out for like nine. You'll probably go see the gayest. It's always the gayest movie of the year happens for all the gay Jews on Christmas Day, he says. So you'll probably go see Nine with Mitchell. I'm planning your day for you. Then you guys will go have a little Chinese food or whatever food you decide to go have. And then you can go steal the blood of babies and make some bread for Passover.
Okay. Or go to the stash in his apartment.
Come
to my show. He sounds like heaven.
You'll meet Mitchell. You'll definitely meet Mitchell. So you mentioned the fact that you have these monologues incorporated with songs, and obviously you know your work in New York and on the Great Broadway have included some of these, you know, mega musicals and the musicals that the gays all love. And I know that you've worked with some of the composers and people because you had some great pedigree on many of the shows that you've been in to work then on creating the songs for your one woman shows. So let's talk about Hairspray. You won awards for this too. You win awards everywhere you go. You played Prudy Pingleton, the racist religious mom of Penny, and we're in the original cast of Hairspray with the fabulous Mark Shaiman. What did you draw on from your life in portraying Prudy?
Well, I happen to be a racist, so that wasn't difficult. Ooh, I just heard everybody turning their radio off. Click. Click.
That's the love of internet. They can't turn their radio off.
Oh, good. Oh, listen to me. I'm so freaking old. The kids, they shut down the machines, the young people. You know, let's see. What did I draw on from my own experience? What, you know, I just seeing crabby, testy moms, not my own. She's not crabby and testy, but other, you know, others. And, you know, I drew on from my take of what she was in the movie, in the original movie, mm-hmm. which I adored.
Mm-hmm.
God, which came out when I was, he lived here, by the way, which I saw here and fell in love with.
Mm.
And I also, you know, played like a gym teacher, which I made, mm-hmm. you know, very dykey and goofy and funny. And then this prison matron, which I drew from a film, Caged. And I actually played the same part in New York at Town Hall with, like, again, Charles Bush and Lipsinka and Joan Rivers and Lily Tomlin. We did like an all-star live version of this prison movie, and that I used that character.
Please tell me where the VHS tapes are of these things.
I know, no kidding.
Honest to God, can you click those up on YouTube for some of us to enjoy?
I know, and this was pre any of that shit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like,
so brilliant, so brilliant. So talk to me about Xanadu then. We just had Cheyenne on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's a doll.
Yeah, he is, like, just frighteningly perfect, that one.
Well, and then to find out he's a good guy, because I thought he's going to be the biggest ass in the world, and he's just, I didn't actually think that, but one would think if you have all the rest of it going for you, you can't be just the nicest guy, which he is. But
yeah.
We talked a little bit about just the, I don't know, kind of the miracle and the surprise that Xanadu was. Did you expect it to be a breakout hit at all?
We kind of didn't know. I mean, of course you think, oh, God, people are going to think it's such trash, which a lot of people did and then didn't see it because they're like, oh, it's going to be that trash piece of crap movie. And it so wasn't.
Right.
So I think that hurt us in the long run, which is a shame because people were just prejudiced about it before they got there. And it was, and the thems who missed it because it was the most delightful freaking show and so funny.
Yeah.
And in rehearsal, like when I saw how funny it was and when I saw the cast, I'm like, maybe, you know, maybe people will click on this thing. Maybe they'll get it.
Yep.
And then God love them, we got a good review in the Times. So
yep. Changed thrilled. Everything. Tell me about, do you have a favorite memory of that show? I mean, if you put people on roller skates, there've got to be some.
Yeah, well, the first day of rehearsal, the director said, okay, Jackie Hoffman, Tony Roberts, and Mary Tester will not be on roller skates. And we're like, yeah! So that was one of my favorite memories. I started singing Hebrew wedding songs. I was so happy. of course, I'm known to, like, be naughty and go off script and improvise with the audience, on, mm-hmm. which doesn't fly on Broadway, but it did in this. And,
good.
And so, you know, I would go up to the audience, and we had, you know, regular what we'd call fanadus, which were who would hang out in the on stage. There was on stage seating, and they'd hang out there, and they knew I would come talk to them, and they were mostly gay, which I loved. I mean, that was, you know, our gay fans. It was just the love affair between the fans and that show, and then just me going and, like, pretty much just ripping a new asshole and really saying. I mean, I had, like, considering how strict Broadway shows are, I had like an untold amount of freedom.
Mm.
And they were like, you know, please don't do it. Poor Douglas Carter Bean, you know, great gay writer, was just like handed me a note in the dressing room. I love you. I love what you do in my show. Please don't improvise. And that lasted for like, you know, 3 days. And I always kept that note, you know, and show it to people.
Oh,
we had such a freaking ball in that show.
I mean, there were
a lot of great memories.
I was telling Cheyenne this too, but Andre Ward and I did a show together when we were like teenagers. So it's been funny to talk to Cheyenne and now to talk to you about it because I so missed seeing it in New York. I saw it when it came here and I loved the show. But when I saw that Andre was like understudying you guys and also Cheyenne, and I was just laughing so hard. I was like, look at you, baby. Look how far you've come. You're understudying men and women and on skates. So speaking of the fact that you had all these gay fans for Xanadu, to speak of some of your film work, Kissing Jessica Stein was really a breakthrough film for the GLBT community. It truly struck a chord and And I had Tova on the show a couple years ago, and we talked about that as well. And I really thought that you and she stole that film. I remember just it seemed like the scenes in which you both were in leapt off the screen. And that's saying a lot, because I thought the film was a super solid film and really spoke to something that maybe other movies at that time were trying to explore, but it did it in such a great, authentic, and funny way. Did your lesbian fan base just exponentially increase after that film? I mean, I'm sure you've been on the map for gay men for a long time, but us women, we loved that movie.
I noticed. I believe so. I don't know how, if it happened in a formal way. I don't do a census take after my shows, but thank you for saying such lovely things about the film and my performance in it, by the way. But
so good.
Yeah,
so
what I noticed is that, thank you, what I noticed is that in Manhattan, very cute lesbians, like girly-looking ones, come up to me all the time. Were you in Kissing Jessica Stein? And it's always, you know, oh, I'm like, oh my God, it's another cute lesbian.
Yeah.
I mean, I've become like, I'm a pussy magnet now.
And who wouldn't want to be? Come on.
Someday I may go down there because they've certainly earned it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We've earned at least one trip down that lane. Come on.
Yeah. It's that it's always the same type. It's not, it goes against the stereotype of like big bull dyke.
Yeah.
They're kind of little. They're kind of short and cute. And they all have like flat, silky hair parted in the middle and glasses. They all have freaking glasses. As do I. All these little pixie dykes. You know.
Yeah.
Were you in the film? You know, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. But it means that you really. You struck a chord. I really feel like that movie did for a lot of people. And I think it was because the performances were so good. How did that movie come to you? I know sometimes you've connected with people and that was a bit of a labor of love project from the beginning, from what I remember.
Yeah, it was a rare opportunity because I finally got to audition for a fucking film, which is rare.
Mm-hmm.
I went into audition for a part that was like a one line part of a woman who's a guest at the wedding who's like 70 fucking years old. And like in a rare, the casting person, Susie Ferris, in like a rare move, God love her, said, "That's ridiculous. I'm going to have you audition for this role." And I got like an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think talk about rare. I think they actually were, you know, Amy Sedaris auditioned for it, and I've actually got a part over the much more popular Amy. It was like, finally.
Good.
You know.
Go for taking things from those Amys. Come on. We get way too much in this world. It just happens. I don't know. The name's short. Easy to remember. Everybody has it. So, will you speak of the 70-year-old? So, I have to go that you are making your grand stretch playing grandma here now in the Adams Family, coming to Chicago.
Right, not grand. If you've seen Garden State, I played like a really old lady in that too.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, you're playing up, and it's
yes,
it's,
and this is not a Jewish one. Boy, talk about a stretch.
Well, I mean, there is
old and not Jewish.
Old and not Jewish.
The Jackie Hoffman acting challenge
and no glasses. Does
no
she have glasses?
There you
go. So. There has been such anticipation around this show, and I think Chicago is very proud that it's starting here and with this cast and this really kind of original creative team. What can you tell me? Because, there have been kind of mums the word, except that it's going to be, you know, based more on the cartoon than on the television show, and really going back to kind of the classic structure of the Addams Family story. But what can you tell us about the musical?
Well, shit, I'll tell you everything. What have
Good.
I got to lose?
Go.
I think it's going to be, I mean, again, they didn't go with a traditional approach in terms of directors. So these guys are just, you know, completely insane. They're just, they're all about incredible artistic vision and design and sets and, you know, there may be some weird, freaky puppet shit you've never seen.
Yeah,
before,
we're hoping.
But you didn't hear it from me.
Yep.
Nathan is hilarious. and B.B. Newirth, there is going to be a blanket of Chicago's finest gay semen all over the stage.
Yep.
When B.B. starts to move, so yep. or speak. I mean, she's fabulous. The cast is unbelievable. Kevin Chamberlain, who's also one of your people, is Uncle Fester.
Yep.
Terrence Mann, gorgeous, hilarious. Carol Lee Carmelo, who, again with the gay semen, when
yep.
she sings, it's unbelievable. I mean, this cast is unbelievable. Wes Taylor, gay. Chris Rodriguez, fabulous, as like the young lovers, gorgeous. And everybody, you know.
Did you know any of these people before, or are you meeting them all with this experience?
I knew of, I had met Nathan before, but I haven't worked with any of them.
Mm-hmm. So you're all kind of just thrown into heading down this journey together for the first time.
Yes.
It's now,
thrown in a big freaking pot.
Talk to me about the makeup and the costumes, because I am sure there is a lot of preparation for you and some other characters.
Yeah, I have actually Chris March, the bastard, emailed me and said, congratulations on Adam's Family, finally a part you won't need makeup for.
Slap, slap.
Mm-hmm. After I complimented him on his collection. this is the thanks I get. The makeup is pretty fab, and it goes kind of in that goth direction, but it's like beautifully designed.
Mm.
And my shit, you know, oh. Hairy eyebrows, moles and shit. So I'm like, I'm going to get out of here fucking later than anybody.
Mm.
You know, with my two freaking lines. No lines, but a shitload of makeup.
Mm.
But yeah, my costume is, it's fabulous. I've already said too much.
You've said too much. Well, and you're going to be doing that. I mean, did you really just not want a night off, or you wanted the opportunity to...
Well,
do seven
I'll
shows
you,
a week of Adams and then, you know, hit your
I'll
come full
you the
circle
truth,
here.
Amy, because I'm all about the truth.
Excellent.
Once I saw how shitty my part was, I mean, when you look at the script and then see that the little one-page thing you read for the audition was your entire part, then you're like, okay, fuck you. I'm doing my own show.
There so you go.
That's basically what happened. And, you know, it fueled, you know, there's nothing better than having my rage fueled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nothing's going to make me angrier than sitting backstage for 45 minutes while Nathan Lane is getting laughs. So I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Yep.
Let me out, you know. So
yep.
So then I figured, let me get this night. And to not bring it here and to not bring it to the gay community here was like a crime.
Yeah.
Because when I worked for 8 years at Second City, which had now they have like a gay touring company and now they've become more gay friendly. But, you know, when I was there, it was a pretty it's still a pretty homophobic environment.
Yep.
And, you know, I put up with that for 8 years. That's why bringing Alexandra Billings, everybody's like, what?
Yep.
So now to, you know, I'm like, here's my chance to, like, do my solo stuff for, like, and speak to the gay community out here. And I was like, you know, I came back here. I'm like, where are the are there gays? You know, people are like, there's lots of them. There's lots of them. I'm like, oh thank
there
God.
Are. My, yeah, it's true. My friend Mitchell, who is one of our co-hosts as well on the show, who you're going to spend Christmas Day with in the most Jewish of ways, he's been going out with Second City's boats for the past 2 years. He did 4 months around the Mediterranean and last year did 3 months around South America. So he's really involved with Second City as well. He'll be doing a one-man show during the holidays as well. So you guys will have to... You guys are going to hook up. It's going to happen.
Oh, geez.
I'm making
not on the same night, I hope.
No, no, no. He actually has Monday night off. He's doing.
Good.
He does the Santa Land Diaries here every year. So,
oh, how fabulous!
Yeah, but you won't have a night off to see that. But he'll come with me to see you. We're already excited. It's already being hatched and planned in my little head. So,
aw, bless
listen,
you.
People get to enjoy you 7 days a week. If they don't see you on stage, then they either slept during your one page of material in the Addams Family. Or they did not come see your one-woman show. Either would be a crime. So, people, get out and see Jackie Hoffman, experience her, and then invite her back to Sidetrack or somewhere in the gayborhood for a cocktail, because I think she's going to need one every night to wake up the next morning and do it again. The world premiere musical, The Addams Family, I know most of you have your tickets already. If you don't, it's in previews now at the Ford Theater, Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. That's such a long title. Running through January 10th. And then it begins previews. For those of you listeners not in Chicago, you can head to Broadway because it's heading to Broadway March, April. If you'd like tickets and more information here in Chicago, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And Jackie Hoffman, Whining in the Windy City Holiday Edition. Go hear all her revelry and madness and fun at the Royal George Theater Cabaret Monday nights, where it's going to be really real, and she will have no moles or facial appliances or fuzzy eyebrows. Mondays, November 30th through December 21st, and for that, you can visit the RoyalGeorgeTheater.com. She'll be hanging out in the cabaret. Mitchell and I'll be there, so we hope you will as well. Jackie, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm glad you're making a mark on our city the entire time that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for being so well-informed and pleasant and gay.
Oh, well, I try. We're going to head you down that path one of these days, sooner or later. I'm going to just put the cute little straight-haired, glassed lesbian at your stage door on just the right night, who will compliment you in just the appropriate way. Everybody,
ooh, I'll take those voles off.
There you go. Everybody go see Jackie Hoffman and don't miss her while she's here. She's truly a treasure, and your audience will be filled with fabulous gay people just like you.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Stephen, the hilarious Jackie Hoffman. We've got so many opportunities to see her with her one-woman show and also in the Addams Family. You got a ticket to go early to see a preview of the Addams Family. And though this is not an official review, this is just a gay man's opinion. What do you think? Is this a good show? And is it going to have a shot to resurrect Broadway?
I tell you this. The first thing I said when I sat down, the curtain to the show is this huge, lush, red curtain that's very, very vaudeville. And all I could think was, thank God. It's not the show's name. It's not some big old thing of, you know, Oz or Winky Land or something. It's just a fucking curtain. That's all I want. I just want a curtain. I don't want you to be clever. I want a curtain. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, I don't think it's like anything we've seen in a while, because the puppet work and the illusion work that they do of the Shockhead Peter people is really phenomenal. What I loved about the show was that it came from it approached these characters in a way that I was like, oh, I never really saw that coming. The whole sort of theme about, you know, that wonderful Addams panel that where they're sitting, Morticia and Gomez are sitting, and he says, I'm happy, darling, and she says, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Completely.
You know,
it's very much a show about the balance of happiness and sadness, of having to have experienced pain before you can experience pleasure. And, you know, that Dolly Parton quote I keep thinking about since I saw the show, you know, the way I see it, if you want the rainbow, you have to put up with a little rain.
Mm.
You know, there's something about that that's really prevalent in this show that is hilarious. Jackie Hoffman is the funniest damn thing on the stage. Carolee Carmello sings her hand in off. Nathan Lane's hilarious. There's just brilliant little numbers all throughout it. I really enjoyed it, and people are already sort of like Facebooking and saying things, and it just makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Well, for instance, there was a guy that was walking out behind me at Van Eyden. Fester has this number, The Moon in Me or something like that, where he literally sort of, I don't know how they pull it off, but he comes off of the stage and like he's floating in the air, and he dances with this moon, and these stars kind of dance around him. It's all puppet work, and it's fun and cute and very, very vaudeville. And we're walking out. I loved it. I'm looking out, and some homosexual behind me is like, oh my God, you know that moon number? Like, that was the worst. How did he do that? I was like, you know, I literally said asshole, because I was like, if you can't figure out the trick and you don't know how it worked, you can't critique it. Just shut up and enjoy it and let them work.
Yeah.
Let them fix their show. Let them tighten up their show. Even after it's open here, it's not open.
Yeah.
Let them work on their show to get it where it needs to be. I think if they do the work that they need to do right here, it's going to be a very, very, very strong show.
Wow.
Very, very strong show. Nothing that's on Broadway.
Did you feel, so you can't compare it to anything, you can't compare it in feel to anything?
Well, I mean, I thought it would be you think, oh, it's going to be very much like the movie. It's going to be joke. And there's tons of jokes in it. But really, it's just, it's like the reviews have said, they've brought together a very odd combination of artists to create this. And these Shockhead Peter people, the people who did the book for Jersey Boys, you know, and the person working on the score, they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of works. It's a it's sort of like putting Lurch and Fester and Cousin It in a room.
Right.
What the hell is going on? It kind of works. I really enjoyed it.
And did audiences seem to enjoy it when you were there?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. They were laughing their heads off.
Yeah.
And you know then that we are nothing but cattle when they're all in this position. There's this huge moment. I won't spoil it, but there's this huge moment when they're all in the position for the Addams Family, you know, like in the beginning of the TV show. And the music, da-da-da-da, and the whole audience goes, clap, like we're just cattle going to slaughter.
Yeah.
We were so excited to see them, and I don't know, I liked it. Some people might say, oh, it was just fast and it was bad, but let them fix their show. That's why I called them out-of-town tryout.
Yeah.
I loved it. And Jackie Hoffman literally was making the cast laugh.
Ah.
Brilliant. Just
she
fucking
is.
Brilliant.
She is. Well, it's a lot to do over the holiday long weekend.
Amen.
And in the upcoming weeks as we head into the December season and the end of the year. So thanks for the little tip, the little sneaky peek. And
go see to get the party going.
And go see the fabulous Jackie Hoffman and Addams Family and her one-woman show,
Amen.
Whining in the Windy City. Stephen, have a great Thanksgiving. I am thankful for you. And
I'm thankful for you, Joan.
And for all of
you. Be sure to bring a football to wherever you're going to go.
Bring a football in honor of me. And everybody else, thank you for listening and continuing to be a part of our Queercast family. And next show, legendary, iconic Charles Bush will be here with
Woo-hoo!
Me. It's just been amazing from Cheyenne to Jackie to Charles Bush. I'm just having the best time and couldn't be happier.
Who's
going to
be next?
It'll
be Oprah next.
It'll be Oprah next.
Homosexual that was critiquing me. I don't like him.
Yeah, that's right.
I may be killed. If I'm dead, look at Harpo. Go to Harpo. Find out.
We'll figure it out. We're gonna stick Oprah on you. All right, everybody, have a great Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Won't you tell them please to put on.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.